Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's the director of WUSA 9 Call for Action and your host, Shirley Rooker.
Starting a small business can be challenging financially and emotionally, especially since slightly more than half of them fail. But you can increase your chances of success by developing a business plan. Why is a business plan necessary? Well, my guest is going to tell you how and why. Hal Shelton has helped more than 1,000 entrepreneurs get started. He's the author of Secrets to Writing a Successful Business Plan. Hal, welcome to Of Consuming Interest.
Thank you, Shirley.
Now, you got into this because I know you've had a great deal of experience. And as you said, you've helped over 1,000 people. Tell us how. Give us a little bit of your background that got you so interested. Have you had a small business, or what is your particular niche in this world?
So I've been involved in business from lots of different dimensions. I started off in the energy business, where I was eventually the CFO of a publicly traded company, New York Stock Exchange Public Traded Company, and I also did a very large IPO. Also involved on the technology side with a smaller company up in Colombia, mm-hmm. looking at technology, and I was on their board, and the major shareholder said, I want to take it private. So I did a going private transaction, which is the opposite of the IPO.
Uh-huh.
And then after I did that for a while, I said, it's part-time now to give back. So I joined two nonprofits, one of which is SCORE, stands for the Service Corps of Retired Executives. It's a volunteer-based organization. And in the D.C. chapter, there are 50 mentors ready to help small businesses. I'm one of those mentors. And in that role over the last 8 years, I have served over 1,000 clients.
Wow. That's incredible, Hal. And I know that with your energy, and I have to tell everybody, I know Hal. And I was delighted to learn that you had written this book because I felt it had to be something that was useful. You wouldn't have done it otherwise. But anyway, so you have really worked with, you know what you're talking about. Let's go back now. Let's suppose I think I want to start a small business and I have some idea in my head. Maybe I want to start a dog grooming business, whatever. And where do I start? What's the first thing that I do? Do I need to look into my community and see what kind of competitors there are? I mean, if there are 6 dog grooming businesses right down the street, I might not want to consider that field. Where do you start? What would you tell somebody like me who says, okay, I want to start a small business. I've got this idea. What do I do?
You're clearly on the right track when you said, look who else is there. And just because there might be 6 other grooming businesses down the street, you might have a particular niche. So if that's really your passion and that's something you really want to do, you got to figure out exactly what you have to offer and why you are different than the competition. You know, most of the time, or all the time, either a profit or a nonprofit is set up to solve a problem or resolve an issue. And so how is the customer going to benefit from taking your dog grooming business?
Okay. All right. So following along that line, so I find out that there are not that many dog grooming businesses in the community. And I see people out walking dogs. So I figure, okay, this is going to be a business that I could do. Then what's the next thing? I mean, there's always the issue of location. How do you get financing and so on? So is this where you start by developing a business plan? Is that the next step after you've kind of analyzed the area? Where do you go from there?
And I would even say doing that analyzing is part of the business planning process. If you think of the business plan more as a process of your thoughts and your investigations and your research, writing the actual document at the end, you know, that happens, but it's not the key thing. So as part of that thought process, you've now figured out like to be in dog grooming. I've figured out how I'm different. I'm now going to start to say, what is my marketing plan? Who are my customers?
Okay.
Can I identify them? What are their demographics? Are they the people in my block? Are they people 5 miles away, 10 miles away? What's their disposable income? Are there 2 wage earners and no one's home during the day? And really spend a lot of time figuring out who your customers are.
Okay.
Once you do that, you can say, where do they get information from? Where do they learn about a new entry?
How do they know about me and my new business?
That's right. So I put together a perfect website. How is anybody going to find it?
Yeah, right? That's right. There are a lot of websites out there.
Lots of them. And, you know, so what are you going to be the five things that you're going to do to drive traffic to your door? It's either to your door physically because it's a retail establishment, or it's your door because you have a website.
Or it could be that I decide I want to go to people's homes and groom the dogs. So that would be a different kind of.
Yeah. But in essence, they have to come to you.
Okay.
And you have to make
the
sale. And then right. You can depend upon where you want to conduct the service.
Right.
And just saying, for example, I'm going to use social media is not good enough.
No.
You got to, you know, which particular things? Are you going to have a blog? Or are you going to tweet? How much time are you going to spend? How much money are you going to spend? Or you can have someone write your website for you, on and on. So the first thing is develop that marketing plan. Okay?
Okay, so you have an idea. You've done the feasibility study, and it seems like it might be a business that could go in that area. And then the next thing to do is figure out how you're going to reach your customers.
Exactly right.
And that could be multiple ways. That could be local advertising in local directories or media, using the radio or television.
And the odds are it's going to be many different ways. They all won't work the way you expected them to work. They're all reaching a little different target audience. In the same way that I put my book together, I had to have a marketing plan, figure out who the ideal customers were, and where do they go to buy books.
Okay.
People nowadays don't necessarily buy books in bookstores.
Yes.
They buy them online.
That's right.
Where do they buy them online? How do they know they're there?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So now I've gotten my idea. I know who I want to reach, and I've got a limit. All right. Now, what part of this do I worry about? Finances? Is that when I've gone the idea, and then do I figure out how I'm going to pay for it and then start my advertising campaign, my outreach campaign to my customers? Or where do you go and how do you find financing? Do you need to establish a business plan before you walk in and sit down and say, I need a loan?
Clearly the answer is yes to that. But to your previous question, you need to have developed the ideas of the implementation of the idea to really figure out how much money do you need.
Okay, so like where I'm going to be located. If I do it out of my home, it's one thing, but I probably have to get a license to do business there, and I got to find out whether or not I can do that, right?
Correct.
There's a lot. You know, I would think that this is the thing where you've got to really make lists. When something comes to your mind, write it down.
You always should have a pad of paper with you. You're outreaching. You're talking to people. I would even go in those cases to other dog groomers, maybe not in your local market because they'll feel you're a competitor.
Right.
Go to Baltimore. Go to Richmond.
Mm-hmm.
Go to other cities nearby and pretend you're a customer. Take your dog with you.
Right.
And say,
right. So it doesn't matter what your business is. Yeah, these are the things that you would be doing.
Do you charge?
I'm not going to be a dog groomer because I don't even have a dog. Let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know that they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker, and my guest is Hal Shelton. He has helped more than 1,000 entrepreneurs get started by helping them develop a business plan. And his new book is Secrets to Writing a Successful Business Plan, and he knows whereof he speaks. Hal, going back to this where you're going out and you're getting support, now that brings me to the question, if you're looking at a particular area that you want to develop this business, not area geographically, but area of service, you would probably want to join some groups that do this kind of thing, wouldn't you? I mean, maybe there's a national organization or something like that. Would that be useful?
Yes, there are, particularly here in the D.C. area, there's an association for everything.
There's an association of associations, right, for that matter.
Right. And so you should join them, and most of them have statistics about the industry, how many players are there, what's their average earnings, and lots of information that would be very useful to you.
Now, because the statistics are rather challenging for anyone starting a small business, I would think that particularly emphasizes the need for doing a lot of thinking before you actually invest or actually start spending money on this. But you are going to have to spend some time. Seems to me like you're going to have to spend a lot of time doing research to find out about starting a small business. And then you have to know things about if you're going to hire somebody, what are the employment laws? What do you have to do in terms of workers' comp, right? Insurance, all of those, license to do business. There's a whole list of things.
There's a whole list, and that's why I want to emphasize that this planning, the business plan, is a process to make sure you have that checklist and you can check, I have considered everything.
Everything.
Because at the end of the day, what the business plan will do is give you a measure of what success could look like if you followed this.
Okay.
And then you can say, well, here are my personal goals. And does this measure of success meet my personal goals? Should I start this business or should I not?
Mm-hmm.
Because as you mentioned, you're going to invest a lot of your time in here. So, for example, if the dog grooming business, just for an example, or consulting, or making jewelry at home, or whatever it is a side business that you're going to do on nights and weekends, and it's an add-on, maybe earning $20,000 a year is fabulous.
Okay.
However, if this is your primary business, and you have a family to support, and you're taking care of elderly parents, and you want to set aside money for education and retirement and so forth, $20,000 in the D.C. area doesn't cut it.
No.
And so you can say, either my assumptions are wrong and I got to improve what I'm doing in my business plan, or this idea is not feasible and is not viable, and let me think of something else.
Well, better you know that before you invest money.
That's right.
I mean,
because according to the SBA, more than 50%, I think it's about 51% of all startups fail within the first 5 years, and it's higher for restaurants.
Oh, yes.
And so, you know, it's not a sure thing to start a business, and so I encourage people to have a business plan. And most of the time when people hear business plan, they sort of freak out. And
Oh, it's daunting. It's scary. How can I develop a business plan?
And part of that is they have this image of it's 32 pages long, and it has 15 pages of financial stuff, okay? I've seen successful business plans that are 2 pages. So part of the thing you'll find in the book is figuring out what style of business plan is right for you and then using that for your business.
It's just really like sitting down and writing your own little mini book about what you're going to be doing and following, figuring out what your weaknesses are. I would think also that that is part of it. You have to analyze yourself. Do you like to sell things, or would you prefer doing something that you didn't have to interact with consumers? I mean, to me, you'd have to do some self-analysis as well.
Yeah. And it takes even the next step, classic, and I've had a number of clients who've been in the IT business and have been fabulous at writing apps. I mean, really great apps. They get tired of their boss and said, I can do this on my own. Okay, let's go out and I'll be my app company. But they forget that they were good at doing something well that someone told them to do. And now it's time to go out and find these customers.
Oh, yes.
And I say to some of my clients, tell me the names of your first 50 clients.
Like, who are they going to be?
Who are they going to be? And they said, I never thought of that. But it's that granular that you have to really figure out and get out there and have a thick skin. And be prepared for people to say no, and just you really have to get your message of why people should buy from you.
Right, and no matter what that service is, yes. Okay, so we've developed the idea, and we've sat down and figured out what we need to do. Hopefully, what are the minutiae that you have to have? Even, I mean, starting a business, you got to record keep, you got to do all kinds of things, and you got to figure out whether or not you're going to be able to do that. This may mean that you need to go take an accounting class or something on a class on the business forms that you need to fill out for a small business, right? I mean, God, there's so many forms these days.
Yeah, so absolutely. In a large company, you know, there is a department for everything.
Oh, yes. And you're going to be all those departments.
Right. Someone does marketing, someone else does finance, someone else does customer service. In a small business, and a lot of small businesses around here, it's a one-person business to start with. You have to be knowledgeable about everything.
Okay.
That doesn't say you have to do everything, but you need to be knowledgeable about it. And you can get friends and pay contractors to do some of the stuff, but you need to be knowledgeable about it.
You got to learn it. That's absolutely true. Okay. So now, as you've said, the business plans can be short or long. How do you know what you need?
At the end of the day, it depends. What are you going to be asking people to do, if anything? if you are a one-person business operating out of your house with no need for external financing, maybe you use your own savings and some family savings, you can have a relatively short business plan that probably focuses on marketing and all the things we talked about, marketing.
The big thing, right.
On the other hand, if you're opening up a restaurant in downtown D.C. and you're refurbishing an existing establishment and you need $350,000 from the bank, which is not unusual for that kind of enterprise, you're probably going to have a 32-page business plan with, you know, half of it's going to be financials because you want to be able to demonstrate to the bank that you can repay the loan.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. Well, now, so we start developing this business plan. Tell us, can you kind of describe a business plan that you've worked on without naming anyone?
So I'll give you an example of a
you know, probably we should wait until after we take a break to answer that because I think that's going to be a question that's going to have some detail in it. So let's just hang on. Let's just take a brief pause here and let people know that they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Hal Shelton. He is the author of the book, The Secrets to Writing a Successful Business Plan, because we want your business to succeed, right, Hal? Okay. It's going back now to talking about a business that you've worked on, a plan.
So a client came to me as a SCORE mentor, and I can really let me make a pitch here for SCORE.
Absolutely.
There, you know, there are 340 SCORE chapters in the United States. There are 11,000 volunteer mentors.
So take advantage of free help. Retired executives, what more could you want?
Okay. Both retired and, you know, in today's
and
time
working.
and non-retired, particularly for skills in social media.
Mm-hmm.
But take advantage, find a chapter, go to score.org, type in your zip code, and you will find a chapter near you. Okay. So I had a client come to me. She was a professional for a large pharmaceutical company. She was important in their marketing department. And she decided to go with her passion and open a yoga studio.
Oh, it's a little different.
Okay. And she wrote a fabulous business plan focused on her strengths of marketing. So one could find no fault with the marketing section. It had into the detail of who her potential clients were,
okay,
where they lived, what their income level was, how she would reach them, where they learned. It was beautiful. But after that, it fell off the cliff.
Why?
There was nothing about finance. And she needed $350,000. What she had done was she put a lot of the finance stuff in the appendix. And when she shared the draft with me, and I'm a finance guy at heart, I said, the way the banker's going to review this is, to you, finance is not important.
Okay.
You're not acting as the CEO of the yoga studio saying all these things are important. So we worked on it. She summarized it. She moved the finance up into the main body. She had it in her executive summary. And the good news was she got the loan at the end of the day.
So the real thing with this advantage of a business plan is to show a lender that you've actually thought about and know how you're going to reach your market. So you're really – that's a selling product, isn't it,
yeah,
in a way? That is a marketing product in itself to market for finances.
Yes. Your business plan is, in fact, probably your first marketing action.
Mm-hmm.
And it reflects on you. Is it clean? Is it spelling errors? It doesn't necessarily have to be in color, but does it look nice?
Right.
Is it organized well? Is it easy to read and to follow? And to the extent that that's true, that reflects well on you as being an organized person to manage this business. The bankers clearly want to deal with solvent businesses, but they only make money if they get their loan paid back on time, on schedule, without much hassle.
They only make money if you make money.
That's right. And so that's what they're looking for. One of the suggestions I have is it's very important the relationship you have with your existing bank.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you always go there first. And I recommend you go with no paper. You talk to not the branch manager. You talk to the small business loan officer. And most banks are separated between their retail business and their business, other business.
Mm-hmm.
And you get that person and you just chat with them. I've been a customer of this bank for 10 years. I am considering starting a new business. is this the kind of business that you would loan to? And then second, if the answer is to the yes, what would you be looking for in a business plan?
Great idea.
You know the answer before you start, but when you hear it from them, you make sure that you get that in your business plan because you want it to be in their language.
Right.
And the things that are important to them,
yes,
to make it easier for them to make that decision.
All right. What are some of the worst mistakes that you've seen people make?
Okay. And let's carry that example
okay, we'll carry
further.
That through. Okay.
The worst mistake is on the sales forecast. When people do not have enough detail, as we talked earlier, about the sales, they make some assumptions to say, for example, this is a $100 million market. I only want 1%. That's a small number. That should be, you know, easy to do, and I'll be happy with my $1 million. But there's no support for it. And there, and you do that over a couple of years, and the sales forecast looks like the hockey stick.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're not going to be in the room when the banker looks at that. And what he's going to say or she's going to say is, this doesn't fly. There's no support. I'm going to cut it in half. I'm going to cut it in a third. And you're not in the room to
You can't defend it.
Defend it.
Right.
So the biggest mistake is, again, back to that marketing and not having it in enough detail with enough credibility of actions you're going to take to make it happen.
Now, with SCORE, okay, so you help people get a business plan in place. How far along the process does SCORE work with people, with new business owners? In other words, would you work with them over the first year? Would you work with them over longer time than that? Or is there no limit?
There is no limit, and I have a number of clients that I've had now for 4 and 5 years.
Really?
We meet quarterly at the local diner or a coffee shop.
I hope you make them buy.
Okay. No, SCORE has very tight ethics.
Okay, I would think. Okay, yes, I'm joking, believe me.
No. And so we pay our own way. And obviously the nature of the discussions change. Mm-hmm. In the beginning it was the business plan and the startup and the meeting with the banker and so forth. After a year, it's about hiring the first employee, the second employee. The third time is going from an internal sales forecast, sales team to maybe get some channel partners to help me on the marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And just the nature of it changes over time, but you've developed a relationship. There's a trust between both sides, and it's a very satisfying experience from my
end. So now, for a new person who's thinking about starting a business, would they expect that this would be the kind of service that they would get from most anyone from SCORE?
Yes, and so there's 11,000 SCORE mentors. Everyone is different. And so if
you might not find the right one the first time,
that's right.
Is that possible?
That's possible.
Not be a negative.
And it happens. And then you just very frankly say, I would like to try someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a volunteer model and there's no commissions or anything.
Right. You're not taking away somebody's livelihood. Right.
You're not a client of a particular mentor. You're a client of SCORE. And so there should be a very sharing. For example, the clients I have, if there's information they need that I can't provide, I'll call in another client, mm-hmm. another SCORE mentor, mm-hmm. and help.
Now, let's just give consumers information. It's SCORE. That's S-C-O-R-E. It's a government. It's actually a private. Is it a nonprofit?
It's a nonprofit formed in 1964. It's now the 50th year. You can find SCORE at score.org. And there's lots of information there, and it's all free.
Hal, I'm sure that you are a fantastic mentor. I would think anyone who gets you is going to be very lucky. We've been talking about how to start a small business and the fact that a business plan is really the only way to help you make success of it. From what you're telling me, if you don't sit down with a business plan and you think, I'm going to do this, you're out of luck. At any rate, Hal Shelton, he's the author of Secrets to Writing a Successful Business Plan. I'm Shirley Rooker. You've been listening to of Consuming Interest right here on 1500 AM. Thank you.
Of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by WUSA 9 Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.